Have you made any progress on the musical?
I give it a little thought.
You know what?
I need a couple hooks, you know? It's all about the hooks.
Here's the thing. I guess we didn't talk about this, but I'm the executive producer on this, right?
Oh, sure. Clearly.
I don't want Lance to stab LeBron James.
Okay. It could be like an old Lance.
You know what? That's TJ Leaf's job.
To stab LeBron?
Yeah, and I want at the end of the show, and this is based on a true story, I want the Lance to ascend into the rafters with angel wings.
Okay. And then the angels take his jersey off, hang it in the rafters, and then shuffle him off to L.A.
And then we don't re-sign him.
And while he's ascending, he's like playing air guitar.
Yes! Yeah. Oh,
blowing
yes.
kisses. He loves that.
It's like writes itself.
It writes itself. We're going to need pulley systems and stuff. This might get a little expensive.
It's worth it.
Totally worth it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah,
so just prepare to... Y'all don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. This is episode 347, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're going to talk about the Pacers' offensive struggles and reflect on what we're thankful for in the NBA. All that, plus I got a stat of the week, and we're going to answer another undergoogable. Joining me this week are two of the three co-hosts, coast to coast like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Happy Thanksgiving to all of our fans out there. Special shout out this week to Willis and Kathy, whose wonderful wedding I attended last weekend, which is why I missed the show. And double shout out to Tanya and Paolo, who shared a car with us as we drove through the rain and through New York City at rush hour on Friday of a 3-day weekend. And it took us forever to get to Connecticut. But we made it, and we had fun because we had good company in the backseat. So thanks for that.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It is Turkey Thursday. Drink up.
And of course, Harper got an early start to his Thanksgiving, and shout out to you. And before we start the show, I just want to remind you, you can support us anytime you shop at Amazon. Doesn't cost anything extra, but if you follow the link in the show notes or go to theundebeatables.com/Amazon, do your shopping, kick a small percentage back to us, and help support what we do.
Victimless crime.
So the first segment this show is a boomerang. Colson, I was informed that the one that we did last show was not legitimate, and that my
fake
title...
news.
That my title that I defended was thrown out because it was a trick boomerang.
Yeah, it was a one question boomerang. That's not really how boomerangs
work. Which I freaking nailed.
Sure, you can have your win, but we're gonna go ahead and give Jason a chance to redeem himself this week. All right.
That's outrageous.
So this week, LeBron James passed Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list, all-time NBA scoring list, for fifth all-time. And I'm wondering if we can go around the table and name the other 20 top NBA scorers of all time outside of LeBron and Wilt Chamberlain. So we're going to start with the defending champ, Joey.
Kobe.
Kobe, number three.
Okay. Kareem.
Kareem, number one, with 38,387 points. Joey.
M. Jordan.
M. Jordan, number four, which LeBron will pass this year if he stays on his current trajectory and doesn't miss any games.
Let's go with Karl Malone.
Karl Malone, number two. All right, now it's starting to get a little tricky, although you know most of these people's names, I think. Joey.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Number eight, nicely done.
Ooh, well done, Joey. That's a good one. I'm going to go Timmy Duncan.
Timmy Duncan, number 14. Two guys are still currently playing, if that helps or throws you off.
It'll probably throw me off.
Okay.
Two guys still playing.
Dirk is one of those.
Yes,
guys.
Number seven. Nicely done. Just past Shaq last year.
Well done, Joey. Dirk Nowitzki.
The other one is maybe not really playing. It's arguable.
Right. I'm going to go with... we're going top 20. We can go top 20. To top 20.
Yep.
Okay. Elvin Hayes.
Elvin Hayes, number 10. Nice.
Let's go. Is Larry Bird on the list?
Larry Bird is not in the top 20.
I knew it. He was hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah. Short career. It was like a meteorite.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Bright, but short. Jerry Bright, West? But...
Jerry West is not in the top 20.
Really?
Going back to Joe. Think of players you know and love fondly. Not named Lance Stevenson.
That I love. David West is that, but he's not on the list. No. Love is a strong word.
It is. I don't use it lightly.
Boy. You said they said there's one more active player?
Yep, and that's not the person you love.
Okay. It's not Vince Carter, I don't think.
we're gonna have to take away your time, buddy. Names,
All right. Did you do Hakeem?
Hakeem, nicely done. 11.
Well done.
It took a while, but you got there.
Hakeem, well done. Now you took so long that I forgot the name that I had in my mind.
That was part of my plan.
It could be. Well done. I really lost this name. That's ridiculous.
Yes. there's a guy, we went to his stadium, he had a statue out front.
Oh, this is crap.
Dominique,
number 13. I give you lots of hints, buddy.
Kevin Garnett, that was my name.
Kevin Garnett is also on there. We'll just go ahead and give you that, too. That's 17.
No, Joey said Kevin Garnett.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Okie dokie. Let's go with Reggie Miller.
Reggie. 20. That's why we're doing the top 20. Come on.
Okay.
It's getting a little tougher. Current player who's been in the news and isn't currently on the team, but we talk about him a lot.
Melo,
number 19, all-time scoring list. You got to remember he's been playing for like 15 years. He used to lead the league in scoring. Mello. All right, we're running out of guys here. We only got five guys left.
What about... Havlicek.
Havlicek, number 16. Nicely done. I've got more Celtics on here.
What about Mr. Russell?
No, wasn't a scorer.
No. Nope.
But Paul Pierce was.
Paul Pierce was number 15. Ah. Nicely done, Jason. Missed Moses Malone at 9. Oscar Robertson at 12. And Alex English at 18. But nicely done, guys. Yeah. Good, well good done. Basketball knowledge.
Where does Jerry West fall on that list? Do you have beyond the top?
Oh, 20? Yeah, got it. Jerry West is close, right? Jerry West is 21.
Okay.
Because I remember when Reggie retired, he was so close to Jerry West, I thought that the two greatest clutch shooters of all time would be connected for all of history.
Right.
So we just hope that stays the same. They're about 80 points away from each other. So.
And then Victor Oladipo came along and blew this whole theory of that up, because he's the greatest clutch shooter in NBA history.
And he's on his way. He's on his way. He's not on the top anything yet, but I assume he'll be there eventually. But yeah, LeBron James going to be, by the end of the season, the number four scorer of all time. And I think there's a real chance that he'll be the number one scorer of all time as long as he stays healthy. So, knock on wood.
Well, very good. This was a difficult one.
Oh, you did like fine. That. You did fine, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not as well as you did last week, but...
That's right. True.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, are we doing under Googleables?
That was the plan.
Super excited.
You told us we had to, so...
he said we signed up for it.
In the end, it's going to be better and more true than Google can give you.
So, this happened this summer. I came across this term, and I didn't know what to do with it. And instead of looking it up, I just waited months on end to talk to you guys about it. Bread and butter pickles. What's the deal with... What's that about?
Oh, that's like the name of a type of pickle, right?
Yeah, suddenly I'm Jerry Seinfeld. What's the deal with bread and butter pickles? Bread and butter. Have you ever heard of a bread and butter pickle?
Sure,
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Why is it different than a pickle? Like a dill pickle makes sense to me, right? You just put dill in the vinegar, so it tastes dilly.
Mm-hmm. You got your gherkin pickle. You put some gherk in there.
you got your kosher pickle, which is killed by a Jewish rabbi. I don't know. Why?
Well, the dilly bar is also soaked in dill, right?
Sure. But I don't know. So do we assume that a bread and butter pickle is soaked in bread and butter and vinegar?
I don't assume that.
No, this I think it's your classic sandwich pickle. I think when you get a burger with pickles on it, sliced pickles. It's usually a bread and butter pickle, I think. I think they're a little bit sweeter than your dills.
Okay, so it's not dill, it's more sweet. And it's set up, it's named after the process of it being with bread and butter on the sandwich.
Or it's like, this is just your standard pickle, so it's like your bread and butter. Yeah. Like, you know, we talk about your bread and butter play. Uh-huh. Like, this is your bread and butter pickle.
See, I didn't even think about that. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, that's what I was going with that one.
This is your basic everyday pickle.
Yep.
So I assume it's vinegar and sugar, right? That's what they put in there? To make
it? Yeah, well, they brine them, right? So it's like a bunch of salt. It's like salt water and... Dinner, right? Right. And then,
but if they make it a little bit sweeter,
a little bit sweeter, sugar, yeah.
And that'd be your just everyday bread and butter pickle.
That's my guess.
That's a really good guess. It didn't even occur to me. That's why I come to you guys. You're smarter than I am.
I mean, I can't think of an alternative. Can you, Joey? Like, it would be something that goes with bread and butter. Like, maybe back in the 20s. Depression era, that was like the only thing you could afford was bread and butter
and some cucumbers and a pickle. To pickle yourself.
Yeah,
we get one of those pickle sandwiches.
Mm.
No, that's the.
It's like
the,
a pickle sandwich where you make the pickles, the bread, and the butter, and the pickle, and then, so it's just like a stack of pickles is your bread and butter pickle sandwich.
That just sounds like a pickle.
But it's sliced pickles all added up to a pickle sandwich.
So it's like, so a pickle and a knife gets you a pickle sandwich, a pickle sandwich.
Yeah. We're really in a pickle right now.
Jason, I'm with you. I think it was the your bread and butter is like your standard, your go-to.
Okay. Oh, also, as a side note, before we look it up, what makes a kosher pickle kosher? Because I was kind of teasing with that. Like, why is a normal pickle not kosher?
Well, I think kosher is it's blessed by a rabbi at some point.
Okay, but why does it need to be, right?
Because if you're keeping kosher, that's all of your food needs to be kosher.
Okay, so you're just blessing it because it's in a kosher kitchen.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, with that, I guess there's other foods. I mean, there's not like kosher cookies. Like, I mean, there are. I'm sure.
Sure, there are. Yeah.
But they're not called kosher cookies, right? Like.
Yeah, but you.
But you wouldn't have them.
I mean, that's not like a style of cookie, but you could get kosher chocolate chip cookies or something like that, right? Yeah.
But is it need to be kosher because it's also in a deli with meat? Kosher is about the humane killing of animals and like sanitary blood processes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I just assumed it was meat. Yeah. So why do non-meat things need to be that? Because they're in the same building?
Yeah, or you don't want to cross contaminate,
right?
Kosher and non-kosher things. Right?
Got it. So. All right, so that answers that. All right, now it's bread and butter pickle.
I'd say in it they have the perfect balance between sweet and tangy. So I think they got the name during the Great Depression because they were a cheap staple in households.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
people used them in sandwiches of bread and butter. Wait a minute. Because that's all they could afford.
Right on. So we were right on it.
You guys killed it.
Why do they even have the internet?
Yeah, exactly. The origin of the name and the spread of their popularity in the United States is attributed to Omar and Cora Fanning, a pair of Illinois cucumber farmers who started selling sweet and sour pickles in the 1920s and filed for the trademark Fanning's Bread and Butter Pickle.
Oh. So they even got it named. It's not just.
Maybe people were using the. So they got the trademark in 1923. The recipe and similar ones are probably much older, is what Wikipedia says. So it was probably like a in the parlance of the day, you know. But then they just decided to finally capitalize on it.
Nice.
Pretty much nailed it.
Okay. The kosher dill pickle is not necessarily kosher in the sense that it has been prepared in accordance with Jewish dietary law. Rather, it is a pickle made in the traditional manner of the Jewish New York City pickle makers. Mm. With the addition of garlic and dill.
Okay.
So there you go.
So kosher pickles may not be kosher.
Well, no, I don't think that's what they're saying. If they make them, if they make them in the traditional style, they are kosher. Right.
Well, as long as they're blessed, I guess.
Sure.
As long as they're hashtag blessed.
Well, we learned a bunch of stuff about pickles. Nice work.
Yeah. Did you? You probably didn't know this, but there was a period of time, and I'm not sure why I did this, but on Instagram, I basically just posted pictures of pickles. Really? I was into pickles. Yeah, I was.
Were you eating a lot of pickles at the time?
Or
were you
just like, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We were. You can pickle a lot of things, you know. So we were eating a lot of pickles. We were pickle connoisseurs, you would say.
I mean, you could pickle anything, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Eggs.
Yeah.
Sauerkraut.
Sure. So, were you taking pictures of your own pickled items, or was this like you going to the grocery store and just taking pictures of jars
no,
of pickles?
No, no, it was stuff that, it was stuff at all with all our stuff.
Okay.
We would get some good pickles. But then I get comments about, if I posted something else, they'd say, where are the pickles?
Were there a lot of comments on the size of your pickle? No? Okay. That means it was
next
probably,
question.
That means it was probably average size pickle, right?
Time for a break. It's boys' night, right, Colson?
Boys' night.
Boys' night. Time for a break here. Saturday night, I went with the missus and a few others. We went to go see another Clint Breeze show at the Jazz Kitchen. Saw him at Pioneer a couple months ago. Saw him again last night. Fantastic show. They did a little more jazzy one this time. But this track from the album is called Black Like Me, but it's fantastic. It's got Oreo Jones on it, so you can buy this one on Bandcamp. You can listen to the whole thing for free. We'll get a link in the show notes. But they're fantastic. If you're an indie, you see them around town, go make sure to check them out and pick up the album if you dig it. So the Breeze and the Groove.
When I was 5, my daddy told me no matter what anyone say, you a nigga. It took me like 12 years to look at myself and consider the fact that I'm tap dancing for the gallery. City around me and demons always seem to battle me. I'm Grace Jones with fox fur and lipstick, and the main stage with some box while I'm a spin kick. More swifter than ever before, I'm trying to open the door. All my niggas pass around the key. West Montgomery, calluses on my six string, so bleed. Granny snapping fingers and she black like me on the Indiana Ave. Cadillac and the ice cold Fiji. Baby, follow me to the land of mystery, where the skyline gleam, help a nigga make believe. On a false street, red leaf covered weed, with the young guns open up they lungs to the beat. Wow, I feel like Elder Barge, watch my soul glow. I'm on some no-dos, I'm coming in spicy with the pollo. Collect call from the loose jaws of a space station. Black and beautiful and permanently on a vacation. Nigga, baby, roll up on a roller coaster, thinking about the great migration. Barefoot while I two-step in a gotten fear while we picking out these great vibrations. Diana Ross in the club singing off-key. Can't keep a wine drunk hands off me. Diana Ross in the club singing off-key. And she can't keep a wine drunk hands off me. Now gentlemen, listen up. Why are you so predictable? I just think you need a friend. OJ. Breeze. I raise my glass in the moonlight. Marcus Garvey sent me on a red eye. Blink twice, but I'm heading home. I'm on the first flight. Get my room nice. In Uganda, niggas assume right. Felt like I had been here before. That's why I pack light. Juveniles on the city walls, pumping up their chests, and the gas has got them wishing for the best. Lick my fingers in the page of a Jack magazine, and this nigga never felt so clean. Flash mob, I'm Huey Newton in this revolution. I got my hands up in the street, they break the constitution. Well, my brother can't breathe, and our black heart bleeds on this camouflage. So you best believe, like, man.
Back from the break, make sure to check the link in the show notes if you want to purchase this or listen to a little bit more. Next up, got my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week.
So last Saturday, Pacers played the Atlanta Hawks, and they won. That gave Nate McMillan his 100th win as a Pacer coach. What? And I'm looking at the list of the coaches for the team. I thought that's a lot of wins. There's been 15 coaches in the history of the Pacers.
Okay.
And that puts him number 10 on the list total.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. He's got 9 coaches ahead of him. One of them kind of doesn't count. Mel Daniels filled in for 2 games. But I guess from the bottom, I'll just read them up here. Some of these guys I'm not as familiar with. Larry Staverman, 68 to 69, 40 and 47 for the season. I guess that'll be 2 seasons, season plus. George Irvine, Dick Versace.
Yeah.
Jack Ramsey. Then Nate McMillan. Up the list, Bob Hill is the next one. 113 wins. Jim O'Brien. It's 121 wins.
That's all. Which, Jesus.
Jack McKinney, 125. Isaiah Thomas, 131. Larry Bird, 147. Rick Carlisle, 181. Larry Brown with 190. Frank Vogel with 250. And of course, the big dog, Slick Leonard, 529.
Nice.
Wow. If you ever need to know how many wins he has, you can just look in the rafters at the fieldhouse.
So is Vogel second to Slick Leonard?
Yep.
Wow.
And number one in the NBA era.
If the Pacers do, you know, continue their winning ways and are as successful as we think they can be this year, then Nate's going to shoot up that list.
Yep.
He's going to pass like three or four guys this year. You'd be right so. Behind Larry Bird, probably.
Yep, that's about right. Actually, I've got a quick bonus stat of the week.
Ooh, sweet.
Joey, stat of the week!
So, it reminded me, Larry and Isaiah reminded me of article I read in the Star this week. It was about a young man, a young Hoosier man. His name, it's a good Indiana boy's name. His name is Jump Shot Warner. His parents are big into basketball.
Sure.
And
they love the jump shot.
Yeah. They were thinking Larry Isaiah as a name, but it didn't go through. But so his full name is Caden JT Jump Shot Warner, but he's been known from day one as Jump Shot. And he is a basketball player. He wasn't as a younger man, but he is. His original name was going to be Indiana Jump Shot, but they
pretty stuck with solid. This one.
Where else do you get? What other states have things like this? Who names their kid Jump Shot?
We named the dog Indiana.
Oh man, that was good. I got a joke from a movie. That's sweet.
We forgot to mention last show that the Pacers debuted a new uniform. They got these City Edition uniforms.
Okay.
Which are gray with a couple like blue lines and some yellow in there too.
Yeah.
Did you guys like these things? Joey, were you in the building to see the gray?
I was not in the building, but you get a real good view of them on TV, and I give them a solid meh.
But, yeah. Ooh. A meh, huh? Okay.
Yeah, but they're all right. But, you know, so the thing is, we've already, they look okay, but we've already got a lot of jerseys. We've got the Hickory ones. You've got your homes, your ways. Like, how many do we have now?
Yeah, we got a lot.
Yeah, we got a lot.
But I got to say, I enjoyed them. Maybe because it was so different. Maybe because, you know, I haven't seen my team ever play in gray before. I thought it was attractive. They were a decent color gray. They weren't too flashy. They weren't too over the top. They just were, you know, they're solid. I could see me wearing a t-shirt version of that, not being mad about it.
I don't hate them. I certainly don't like them. They seem like the first draft of a cool uniform.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, fair enough.
Because there's these like homages to the Flojos, kind of with like the flared thing on one side, and then the numbering, I guess the font is similar to that era as well, so that's kind of cool. And then they have this like, it says like always lead somewhere on the jersey, but it's on part of the jersey that's like tucked into the shorts
right.
all the time, so you right. never really see it. So what's the point of that? I don't understand. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I don't hate them. I think they're fine, but
you think that like they could have been first more. Draft. They could have done better.
It seems like to me, yeah.
Yeah.
instead of like an homage to the Flojos, I think a good alternative would be to wear the Flojos.
We all love the Flojos.
Yeah.
Yep. Or, or, you know, include more dynamic side panels. Like, I mean,
they were pretty static, I'll be honest. Somebody's got to say it.
Sure. We could do the Indianapolis skyline with the four buildings on it.
So it'd be amazing. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Go buy yourself a new uniform, I guess, if you want.
Do they have the city jersey with the Bogdanovich's name on it, though? That's the question.
Definitely not.
Man.
Okay. So to get back to actual basketball here. So last week you guys had a interesting and, you know, the never-ending discussion on whether or not Turner and Sabonis should be playing together, or Sabonis should be starting, Turner should be starting, blah, blah, blah. So then I started wondering how these guys are doing together when they're on the floor. And Nate has been playing them a bit more this year. So far, lineups including both Turner and Sabonis have played 73 minutes in 14 different games.
That's fantastic.
And they're pretty good defensively. So they have a defensive rating of 91.9, which is way below our defensive rating as a team. As a team, we have a 103.2 defensive rating, which is good
enough. But in this case, below means good, right?
Below means good. Yeah.
That's really good.
So we have a 103.2 defensive rating as a team, which is good enough for third in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
And our offensive rating is 106.8, which is middle of the pack, so like 16th or something like that. Lineups including Turner and Sabonis, however, have an offensive rating of 89.7.
Ooh.
They do not score a lot of points.
Ooh, really?
So that's a net rating of negative 2.2. And so, you were asking Joey about, offensive woes. I think over the last, whatever it is, six games or something like that, we've broken 100 twice or something like that.
Yeah, we're averaging like 99 points over the last six games.
Yeah, it's not great. Part of that is earlier in the year we did a little statistical thing looking at some early trends, and the Pacers were top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating at the time. And one of the reasons that we attributed that to was that the Pacers were just shooting the ball at a ridiculous clip, and that would come down to earth. And indeed, that has come back down to earth. And I think that's part of the reason that the scoring has come back down. But there's a lot of stagnant offense, seems to me, and we're not getting a lot of shots for guys like Doug McDermott and Turner, for that matter, who are good scorers of the basketball, and they're not taking a lot of shots. Our pace is also pretty low. We're one of the lower pace teams in the league. So we have the third lowest pace in the league, so we just take fewer shots.
Well,
so that's part of the reason
I'm looking at last year's stats versus this year's stats, and they are incredibly similar, which you would say is good because we won 48 games last year. And the issue is that the league offensively is dramatically better, and our offense has not changed at all. We're essentially taking the same amount of shots we took last year, a half a more three than we did last year, the same amount of twos. Like, our pace hasn't kept up with the league. You're right, our really hot shooting is still a little above what we averaged over last year. We're up a percentage point on two-pointers and on three-pointers. But we're down a whole rebound. We've talked about our rebounding issues. But with more shots going up, there should be more rebounds available. Our turnovers are up. So are there things that we're doing, and we're scoring a whole point less than we were last year on average in a league where the scoring is up like 6 points a game. And that's a real concern. It shocks me that when you said the Sabonis and Turner stat, because I think our concern last week was that defensively it would be an issue. Didn't even consider that it would just be a total disaster offensively.
Right.
And I think some of those, I mean, I think we've been elite defensively this year, especially with the rise in scoring across the league, and the numbers bear that out. We're holding teams to, you said we're third in the league with
defensive rating.
I think we're third in the league or second in the league for how many points we allow as well. Mm-hmm. That's at 101.4 in a league where the average scoring is like 108 or something. That's very good. I think we could be really proud of the work we put in defensively. And I think that's winning us games. But when you play a game like we did last week against, you know, Houston, where we hold them to 98 points, but we only scored 94, you know. Miami this last week, they averaged 110 points a game and we held them to whatever it was, 91, which is fantastic. But we only scored 99 ourselves. I mean, we're playing with fire by not being able to put enough points on the board. And it's not so much that we haven't, that we're doing things way worse than we were last year. Clearly, with the way these numbers work with the first 16 games, we were so hot early on. And we've cooled off so much, we're kind of reverting back to the mean like we talked about. So that means our shooting in the last 2 weeks has been really abysmal. The fact that we're still winning games is a good thing, but this is not a trend that can continue. I mean, I think we look like a mediocre to bad team offensively, honestly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we get off to these like really super slow starts.
We are the worst in the league in first quarter scoring.
And so that doesn't help us out. And that's, our starting lineup plays the vast, vast, vast majority of our minutes. I think if you look at the numbers of minutes of five-man lineups, there's our starting lineup, which has been out there for 258 minutes throughout 16 games. The next closest lineup is Evans, Joseph, Bogdanovich, McDermott, and Sabonis that have played 47 minutes together. So we have this lineup that is overall decent. I mean, it's basically, you know, even net rating and similar to our overall numbers for offensive and defensive. But they're just, they don't get off to hot starts. And I think that really does two things, right? So it lowers the ceiling for how many points we can score in a game.
Right.
At some level. And it also gets us in a hole oftentimes.
Correct.
And we're constantly having to dig out of holes, which this team does very well and doesn't, you know, get down on itself or give up on games, but our bench is quite good at getting us back into games. But I think we have to figure out a way to, you know, get things started a bit quicker. That will solve a lot of ills.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I felt like Oladipo, for a stretch there, was trying to get everybody involved. Like, he didn't really feel like he was turning it on until the third. Like, he was trying to feel out games and let the other guys get going. And that works great if your other guys can hit shots. But, God bless him, Thad Young has been just broke. He's mm-hmm. not scoring 50% from the free throw line. I think he's scoring below 20% from the three-point arc. It's just not going well for him. Darren Collison started out really cold. He's having kind of, hit-or-miss games in the last couple weeks. We're not getting shots close to the basket because we don't really have much of a post-up threat. Miles Turner prefers to do those jump shots. Outside of Bogdanovich, who's just been on fire, that whole starting unit isn't real efficient offensively. And I've noticed there's just a lot of... And this is with the second unit, too. I just think it's... Just to the eye test, I feel like there's a lot of dribbling. There's not a lot of people movement. And there's not a lot of passing, and we're really bad at getting stuff to the weak side. There's dribble penetration, or there's pick and roll, but there's not a lot of other stuff. and at least to a fairly stagnant offense. We've got, I think we're relying on our depth. You mentioned our bench. Because we've got 1 through 10 guys that can hit shots, but we're not really doing it as a team. We're kind of doing it as a collective of 10 decent players. And, you know, as far as Nate is saying, he keeps saying, pass the ball, move the ball, pick up the pace, share the rock, all this stuff. That's what he's preaching. But we're not doing a very good job of it. And, you know, last year we were 5th in the league in turnovers. It was one of the and 3rd in the league in steals. That was, I think, one of the things we could point to and say, okay, we don't turn the ball over and we take the ball away. This year we're middle of the pack. We're 16th in turnovers. We're turning over 14 times a game, and that's a number you don't want to be at. You know, I mean, that's over league average. We're still stealing the ball 4 times a game, but that assist to turnover, that possession, that stuff just isn't better. It's concerning because I feel like this is all smoke and mirrors at this point.
Well, it's interesting to me because, you know, you mentioned that the offense seems stagnant at times, which I agree. And so in the Atlanta game, the very first possession, the Pacers actually ran a play, which involved a lot of action, weak side action and a screen out top. And it ended up getting a wide open layup for Bogdanović underneath the basket.
Yeah. Right?
Just beautiful basket.
It was.
Right. And then, you know, I'm watching the game, and 2 minutes later, I'm like, how is this the same team as the team that ran that play the first set? Because they just sort of do these, it's almost like a weave of pick and rolls at the top of the arc. So they'll try one pick and roll or a pick and pop, and that doesn't quite work. So then they reset and do another pick and pop from another angle. And then all of the other 3 guys are just sort of stagnant. Or maybe they bring one other player in to swing the ball around and try a pick and roll on that side.
Right.
And it seems like every possession, or a lot of the possessions, are centered around that type of action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, granted, you know, Oladipo and Turner are pretty good in the pick and roll. I don't know exactly what their numbers are and how they compare to the NBA, the rest of the NBA, but they're really good. So it's definitely something that we want to include. But I would think with a lineup that plays together as much as this lineup has played, you know, both this year and last year, that they would have a much more complex set of plays that they could go to. Right?
Yeah, like, that makes sense to me in the second unit. These guys haven't played together really, you know, we're kind of just,
right,
you know, trusting people to beat your, you know, the guy who's guarding you. Look for mismatches, which I think the second unit does really
things,
well.
Yeah. Yeah, like a pick and roll and see how things shift off of that. Yeah.
Right. But you're right. And it's funny because they said they took the 4 days off, you know, and they ran a bunch of, they called it a mini training camp because we had that 4-day gap in between games. And they were giving out points, not just from what you scored, but from shots you took. And so you got a point if you took the corner 3. And, you know, because they wanted to encourage the guy to be in the ready in the corner and to take that shot. Even if you missed it, they gave you a point. And I saw 2 times in that game, in the Atlanta game, where they swung the ball the 1 extra time to find the corner 3. And one time we missed it and one time we hit it. And both times they were like, oh, yay, hey, we did something we didn't practice. This is exciting. You're like, yeah, what that extra pass gets you a wide open shot. Like, that's you got to swing the ball. And instead, a lot of it gets to that, you know, weak side and that it stops with a dribble. It's a, you know, Corey Joseph will get the ball and he'll drive in the lane instead of swing it around, you know. I mean, this isn't on Corey Joseph. I'm not trying to make him the bad guy, but just this example. We have a lot of guys that are capable of taking their defender off the dribble, and we do that instead of making the basic swing around the horn. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, there are certainly possessions where they look more in sync and the ball moves more crisply and they get nice wide open looks. It's just the proportion of those possessions is not where it should be in the proportion of possessions where it seems like we have no plan.
Yeah, we've had games this season that look like we're unstoppable offensively. I mean, that San Antonio game was fantastic. I felt like we were,
right.
And there are games where you're just passing the ball with purpose. But yeah, this is, I feel like this might be, this is the offense of a 500 team, you know? And if we weren't playing defense to the level we are right now, I think we should be concerned about making the playoffs. Now, luckily, we're playing elite defense, better than we did last year. Good for, third in the league right now. And we look at it. It passes the eye test. We're getting out on guys. But, yeah, I just wish there was a little bit more creativity in the offense for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the sort of canary in the coal mine for this, which we've talked about on the show before, is Doug McDermott and his shots per game. So McDermott is taking less than 4 shots per game.
Well, the reason that number's up that high is because he played 20 minutes in Atlanta, right, and shot like 7 or 8 times. Like,
right.
He's only shooting like 2 or 3 times a game, if that.
2 or 3 times a game, right? Yep. Which for his career is the lowest. Let me see. I'm pulling up his thing here. It's the lowest since his rookie season.
Yeah.
Right. And this isn't a guy that normally gets, a ton of minutes or anything like that. I mean, he's only playing 16 minutes a game for us right now, which is too low in my mind. He should be playing significantly more. But, he typically takes, 6 to 8 shots a game or something like that. And that may not sound like a big difference going from 4 to 6 or 4 to 8, but that's like dramatic, especially with a guy that shoots the ball as well as he does.
Sure, and from 3-point line. And we're talking about maybe 10 extra points a game.
Right. And so, and that's a symptom of, I think, the style of offense that we're playing, where there's not a lot of off the ball movement and there's not a lot of sort of plays called for McDermott. So again, in that Atlanta game, there's one moment where they ran the elevators play they used to run with Paul George all the time, where he would come from the baseline through the lane, and then basically there would be like a double pick. The doors would close and get him a nice open shot at the top of the key. They ran that once for McDermott. He got a great look, nailed a 3. We didn't see it again the rest of the game.
Right.
It's like
instead we keep doing.
There are elements there. Just do them, more. I don't understand.
He does that thing where he comes off that curl around the pick and shoots it right away, and he's never quite unbalanced. And I know that's a shot that he is good at and can hit, because clearly it's something that he's willing to shoot. I assume that's in his repertoire, and it hasn't gone very well. And if he misses that, which he's largely doing this season, we just don't go to it again. Like, if that's his shot, let him shoot that 3 or 4 times a game, Right,
exactly.
Because he's going to start hitting it. When you think about the utility of having a guy like a Thaddeus Young, where we don't draw up plays for him, and he just kind of gets his points off of scrapping and offensive rebounds and in the flow of the offense, and that's fantastic to have a guy in a 5-man rotation that you don't have to draw plays for. But on some level, it also means that we should have more plays for people in general. Like, if there's there's a guy off the list that you don't have to draw a play up for, it's got to be more than just Oladipo Turner pick and rolls and maybe 1 or 2 backdoor cuts for Bogdanovich. I mean, otherwise the guy's having to drive from the top of the key. We're just not getting easy buckets right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We're also missing a lot of chippies and bunnies. It's sure. Horrible, but you got to create. We have to create better shots, I think.
Yeah. And we've got we don't have I've said this before and I'll say it again. We don't have super elite talent on this team, but I think we've got above average talent that goes 9 or 10 deep. And that means, on a lot of days, you're going to be able to beat the guy, your man in front of you. But that shouldn't be our only plan.
Yeah. It will be interesting. I wonder if, as far as, solutions go, we pointed out a lot of issues here. But if Oladipo should miss some time with, this knee soreness, which is the prudent thing for the Pacers to do, they should not force him back. Correct. We need him healthy. He needs to play 70 plus games this year. If that will force the coaching staff to start implementing more of a structured, a Vogel-esque offense where the coaching staff is calling the plays every time down or something like that, and getting more creative and getting more guys involved, right? I tend to think it probably won't happen because it seems like the solution is to plug Tyreek Evans in.
Right, and just let him...
Exactly, and their attitude towards Tyreek Evans is just give Tyreek the ball and let him do whatever he does.
Right.
Whatever, so...
Yeah, and it does concern me, and I think it's worth looking at as we watch these numbers as the season progresses, that in a league where the pace has gone up and everybody's scoring is up, I think I said it was averaging 108 points a game. It's actually 110.4 is the average scoring in the league right now. And we are taking less field goal attempts than we did last year. And we're essentially doing everything like we did last year, which, like I said, was good for 48 wins. But when the league has moved on, and we're now scoring a point less than we did last year, it just seems like something that is going to catch up to us. So.
Yep.
But I mean, I don't want to also be the Debbie Downer, the guy who's always sad and worried. Because the thing is, last year at this point we were 8-8, and this year we're 10-6. You know, when I went through game by game wins before this season, I had us at 8-8, and I thought this was a tough start to the season, and we're playing better than that. So things are going well. We've got some really good signature wins already. We're not losing games we shouldn't lose. So, we made Miami and Atlanta look harder than they maybe should have been, but we still got the W's without our best player, or in Miami when he wasn't playing his best. So,
yeah, and defensively we look
fantastic
than we did last year.
We look really good defensively, and hey, defense wins titles. So.
And it travels too.
At least it used to.
It used to, right? but it does still travel for sure.
Yeah,
we're 5-3 on the road. Like that's fantastic. Got a lot of good early signs. I don't want to be super scared and Debbie Downer. This is a good team full of good guys, and we've got some stuff to clean up. I think we've got the talent to do it. But I like your idea, Jason, that we need to be looking at these team lineups and seeing what's working, and maybe switch some stuff up. Not that we'll switch up our starting lineup because that's not what Nate does, but maybe some of the combination of players.
Yeah, I don't think we will. I mean, simply because the bench is so good. Like, you look at some of these bench lineups, and they're to basically the bench with Thad Young has a net rating of like plus 30 or something like that. It's insane. It's an insanely good lineup. And that's been playing more and more the last week.
Right. I have noticed that. Yeah. He brings in Sabonis early. So then he can bring Thad back with the bench.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that lineup does really well. So I think we're close. I mean, you know, like I said, I agree. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but there's definitely opportunities for improvement, and you want to always be getting better, right? Especially since the East got harder. So
yeah, and the rest of the league made a jump, and we're playing the same offense we played last year. So,
all right. Well, yeah, I think you did. What?
Don't be sad, Joey.
No, you know,
just gave me a really sad look.
Yeah, but I, all these things don't make me too excited, but. But our record is fine.
Yeah, our record's great.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're winning ball games, which is good.
We just got to get to December. December is cake month for us, as far as the schedule goes. And you know, we've got a tough Western road swing coming up. But after the next six games, like we got this. We're gonna just run away with this league. So. Let's just hold on for another six games. Get to December and see what happens.
I'll tell you what. That reminds me that I'm thankful for cake month, December. I'm excited for that.
Cake month?
Cake month, yeah. He said the month is cake.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Cake.
I've got a couple other things that I'm thankful about, to being that it is Thanksgiving Day today. I'm thankful that we've got a team that in the Pacers that I'm excited about, with good people. You know, even when they don't win, it's still good guys. It's good organization. I'm thankful to be able to follow, you know, a team like this. And I'm thankful that some of the teams that have been in a bad spot for a while are picking back up, namely the 76ers. You know, the city of Philadelphia has looked for a good team for a long time. I feel bad for the city that they were so bad. But the process is paying off. Their years of intentional tanking are over, and they're all back on the way up. The Lakers are starting to look good again. I'm happy for LeBron. I get to watch him do his thing in another situation, in LA. And to me, it's interesting, you know, because there's all these Kobe, these big Kobe fans out there that hate him. I think that's crazy.
Oh, can you, when LeBron passes Kobe for all time scoring list in a Laker uniform, what that's going to look like? People's heads are going to explode.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be great.
Jason, what are you thankful for in your NBA season, your NBA life?
I mean, the same. I just love watching this team. You know, it seems like every post-game interview, everybody's first focus is on the team and how they're helping their team or how their teammates help them be successful, and that's just refreshing to see. And you know, I'm thankful to have you guys. You know, missing Harper this week, shout out. But you know, it's super fun just to break this down with you guys every week and nerd out about the offensive rating with different lineups and whatnot. Like, I'm glad I have this outlet. So, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, a lot of these off-season things that we were kind of worried about are looking good. You know, Kawhi Leonard looks healthy again in Toronto. Thankful that Giannis has a good coach now, mm-hmm. so he can be unleashed. You know, that's a detriment to the Pacers, but I think it's good for basketball overall. I don't know. That's, you know, that's it. Thankful for NBA League Pass that it's actually working this year.
Oh, so
that's
nice. Good. In no strongly worded letters this year?
I started a chat the other day because I couldn't stream the Sixers game, and but then it started working in the middle of the chat. But I was getting stupid questions like, have you logged into your account?
Is your computer turned on?
No, I forgot to do that. My TV's off.
PS4 turned on. Do you have the app?
Right.
Come on. So, anyway.
So, Jason, on a quick aside on, you mentioned those post-game interviews. They are, it's pretty silly. You know, you've got a rookie, Holiday, the first time they're giving him the post-game interview. And it's just, you know, I'm just glad I get to help contribute to the team. I'm glad mm-hmm. we got a win out there. You know, nothing selfish. It's ridiculous. And I don't know.
You mad about it?
It's like they're too polished. They're too good. They're too good of teammates. They're too good of guys.
And they just care about each other. It was just so the camera work from Fox Sports getting Turner celebrating those Holiday threes was just fantastic. I mean, just everybody was just so excited for him. And it's a team that pulls for each other. And that you guys kind of took my what I'm thankful for, but. I'm thankful for Thad Young. He's had a rough start to the season statistically. He's still a guy that gets on the floor and does the little things. He's still averaging like a steal and a half a game. He's still the guy that pulls the guys on the sideline together and says, hey, you know, we're going to lose this team if we don't play harder. But he also is a local hero. You know, I went to the game last week against Philly, and you know, Turner's the guy that gets all the vets. It was for Veterans Day. They had all these servicemen and women. You know, Turner's the guy there that signs all their jerseys and basketballs. He's the guy that buys their tickets down at the baseline. He also is the guy that runs the, you know, in part, I think, along with Oladipo, that runs the Thanksgiving Day dinner that they do at the Fieldhouse. Just a fantastic member of our community, and great to have him on the squad, even though he's having a kind of a rough start to the season. Numbers-wise, it hasn't stopped him from being really important to what we do. So, thanks, Thad. And then also, you know, when I first started dating Kyle, it was sort of like a get-to-know-you thing. I did a running list of my favorite things, you know, and it was like cold Miller High Life in a bottle, you know, monkeys dressed like people, you know.
Is this in order?
Yeah. Blowjobs. No, I can't say that. consensual sex among adults. And then the Indiana Pacers. And then somewhere on that list, you guys are there too. And I love that I get to hang out with you guys and talk about the Indiana Pacers. This is something that, you know, Joey, you came up with this idea like 5 years ago or six at this point. I have no idea. But it really helps me stay connected to things that I love very much, which is you guys and this team. So I'm thankful for that.
That's a pretty good list. Do you want to do one for Harper? I think we could do that.
what's Harper thankful for?
He's thankful probably first and foremost is us.
Sure.
I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably thankful for the Colts renaissance this year.
Yeah, here we go. Darius Leonard is the best linebacker in the NFL, and he's a rookie for the Colts. That's nice.
That's great.
And they've won four in a row after a rough start, so.
I'm going to get – he's probably thankful for his family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was on my list of favorite things of all time, too. Sure, probably my family. Shout out, Papa Joyce.
The fake news media.
Oh, yeah. He loves so much. He's a big fan of that.
He's always sending me links to fake news.
Yep. Yeah. He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it. That's pretty much it for him, I think. That's pretty much Harper in a nutshell.
Sure.
Oh, you know what he does, though? He loves enforcing. Mm-hmm. That is one thing he loves doing.
Sure. So it's his family. Yeah,
he's thankful for people that act up so that he can enforce.
So it's his family, it's us, it's the fake news, and troublemakers.
Yes.
Yeah, he says, specifically, I remember this last time we hung out, he said that people that were acting a fool weren't going to get enforced. Mm. I thought that was fair.
Sure. Oh, speaking of things that were said that I thought were pretty great, and this probably goes into line with everything we've talked about today. Quinn Buckner on the call last night said, "You got to be gritty if it ain't going to be pretty," which is really solid because we were playing pretty ugly ball, but we gritted it out. So,
and all I could imagine was Gritty, the mascot, like running onto the court and dancing like a maniac. To be fair, I was in a NyQuil haze at that point, so maybe I just hallucinated that gritty scene.
It's gotta be gritty.
Is that where when you drink a little bit
too much NyQuil, is that what's going on?
Do you think that's I think that's probably Gritty's homeland, right? Is
NyQuil induced comas?
Yes.
That's where he comes from. That's where he draws his power.
He came to you in a fever dream. My dad's a big Flyers fan, is not happy that we had anything remotely bad to say about Gritty. I got a text.
I don't know that we had anything bad to say.
What? I mean, he's scary.
Yeah. Is that bad? As if you were a fan of the opposing team and you're afraid of the Flyers, that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I think.
And also, did you just say that Gritty was a creation of Freddy Fever's dreams?
No, just a regular fever dream.
Okay, all right.
It could be Freddy Fever's dream.
It's sort of like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. That's a movie, right?
Oh, right. You haven't seen that movie. There's a girl in it. She has a dream with a monster, and she, yeah, whatever. He can only kill when she's asleep. I don't know.
Yeah. Pretty much makes sense.
Yeah. And that's how it works with Gritty and Freddy Fever. We've solved the case.
It's a cold case, too. Sounds like. Sounds like the end to your musical.
This is going to be an amazing musical.
Yep.
Now all I have to do is learn how to write music. It'll be fine.
Well, you got GarageBand. You're halfway there.
Yeah. Just auto-tune everything. It'll be fine.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. I think it's time to go. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody if you celebrate. And happy time off work if you don't. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do it on the social media. We're on facebook.com/theundebeatables. We're on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. Our website is theundebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can email us, shoutout@theundebeatables.com. And if you can rate our show, give us a review if you can. That helps new listeners find us. Or you can generally share whatever app you're listening. If there's somebody you know was a big Pacer fan, you can send this right to them and let them know that we're out here. And we got t-shirts for sale, too, at the website /store.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Sicklinard, turn out the lights, put the turkey in the Tupperware, Thanksgiving's over.
Oh, did I tell you? I didn't tell you guys this. So the musical feature we had last week, L.V. Martin, wrote in to us and said that he's from the birthland of Domantas Sabonis.
What? Really?
Which I thought was awesome. But then he said, sadly or gladly, I'm a Golden State Warriors fan.
Mm. We'll still play him, though. It was a hot track.
He says, thanks for the strange connections. All the best to the Pacers in the East.
Nice.
At least he's rooting for the team.
All right. I need to go get into another NyQuil coma.
Nice. Doesn't the scientist you just want to test it, though?
Kind of. But the liver inside of me does not want any part of it.
So it's a hard out on that one.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Maybe that's the name of my musical. Liver Inside of Me.
And that, yeah, and Liver Eaton Johnson is the narrator of your musical.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely in it. And he's just eating livers the entire show.
What do you guys, have you guys noticed that there's like a new sideline reporter?
What's up with her?
Where did she come from?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Never heard anything about her at all. She just seems like a white lady.
Yeah.
That's hella makeup.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's like good. Like
she's fine.
The things that she adds is fine. You know, it's information.
She's no Stacey Pates.
No.
That's a good thing though, right?
So. Didn't we used to love Stacey Pates? Right. No, we the Stacey Pates Olson is who we didn't now. Like. We didn't like Stacey Pates. We liked Brooke Olsendam. That's who we liked.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, Stacey Pates was a mess.
She wasn't a mess.
I hope she's happy somewhere.
Oh,
I hope she's living on a beach and not on TV. That's what I hope.
You're down on her, huh?
No, like I said, I wished her nothing.
I
mean, but
I hope she has a home.
Yeah, I wished her nothing but happiness. I just don't want to see her on my TV anymore.
I thought she was fine.
Maybe she's gotten better.
She improved over her tenure, I would say. Early on, yes, the Pacers have basketball. They are good at playing. How do you like to basketball? Okay, sorry. I feel bad now.
Alright.
That's the name of the musical. How do you like to basketball, starring Stacey Bates? Oh, dear.